The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this morning. And good morning. Gosh, today, the 22nd, the day before Thanksgiving. Have you ever wondered why we celebrate Thanksgiving on the day that we do? Well, I'm going to tell you why in a few minutes. Anyway, good morning. Today, the 22nd, like I said, 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. Ben Ayuman. Tell me again.
Benjamin
is producing today. Yeah.
Good morning.
Yeah, he's going to do the whole thing. Christina's going to sit there and hover over him and get paid for doing nothing except hovering. She can't hear me right now, so I can say that. She's still smiling. Let me tell you, Christina brought over to the house yesterday some... You're an incredible... You can't hear me, can you? Come in here. Anyway, Ben, you got the helm. What national day is it?
National Cranberry Relish Day.
Oh, okay. I've got to tell you what happened to my cranberry relish later. Okay, and the news is. Oh, I already said that. Now, weather. Here we go. Today, increasing clouds with a high near 68. Tonight, cloudy in the early evening, and then a low around 49. Thanksgiving Day, it's going to be sunny with a high near 65 and a low around 43. Cool. Great. And the rest of the week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday are going to be sunny. 62, 63s and lows around, 38, 40, things like that. So it's going to be chillier, but really nice during the days. So. Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, family-owned business, locally owned, locally operated out of Anderson, California, that takes care of all your propane needs. It's all customer service. All the propane's the same. It's a veteran-owned business. They give discounts for seniors and veterans, and they have all types of plans to help people stay warm, have hot water and all that during the winter with the prices of gas the way they are. Give them a call, 530-365-3793. Okay, so, Christina, run in here. Okay, now, she does the best Ukrainian accent of anybody I've ever heard.
Good morning.
Good morning. Turn her on. Is she on? Okay, try again.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
I'll try to speak more louder today.
You speak more louder today. Okay, now, you're a baker and a candy maker.
I'm not really like a baker. I'm just a really big dessert lover.
Oh, okay.
And as I moved here, I realized that I missed some of my desserts that I used to eat all my life. So I just decided to make them by myself and share with my friends and my...
My goodness. It is incredible. Dates, strawberries, truffles, what else? Red cake, all these kind of things.
Cranberries with pistachio, blueberries.
Pistachio.
Yeah, it's a Ukrainian accent.
But it's incredible. And you brought over a box. We're going to get a number of these for our friends and customers.
Yeah, I'm so happy
it's a great,
like
it's a
it.
Great, it's a great gift. And we gave them out. We had Brandon was over yesterday fixing the fountains, and hey, Brandon, you want one of these? Oh yeah. And so he did. Okay, I just lost Christina to the phones. Now, have you ever made cranberry relish on your own? Have you? Well, my son does. Makes it every Thanksgiving. Well, we're not down there this year. So I asked for the recipe. Have you ever gotten a recipe that says, well, start out with a bag of cranberries, but make sure, you know, make sure that you don't have any bad ones in there. So I'm looking at them, trying to figure out what would a bad cranberry look like. I think maybe if they're rotted, I could figure that out. And then you add this, and then there's like six different things, cloves, nutmeg, cinnamon, all this stuff. There's nothing. There's no mixture to it. It just says add. It doesn't say how much. 20 cloves, 5 cloves. It just doesn't say anything. Put it in a big pot. Boil till all the cranberries bust, pop open. Okay. And then simmer it for 4 hours. Now, the lady in the bank, Lee, when I was talking to her about her cranberry relish, oh, no, I don't do for 4 hours. And, no, not 4 hours. She says, it takes me like, oh, maybe an hour, hour and a half at the most. So I've got 4 hours on this side with no amount she put in. So I did it anyway. And I must say, it looks nothing like his. Mine kind of looks like a thick, really thick giblet gravy in the sense that there's the cranberries are everywhere. And I have cinnamon sticks and all that stuff. And it's sweet. So it's sweet and tart, if that makes sense. I'm not sure how I was able to do that. I could probably never do it again. But to me, cranberry sauce, it's supposed to be less thick. Am I right? I mean, you got the jellied cranberry sauce. It's just, you know, you just slice it off. But the cranberry relish is more just like the cranberries, like they've been crushed, but they're still in pieces. So I can't figure out what happened on this, except they were rendering down. And again, it was me cooking cranberry relish. So tomorrow at Thanksgiving, we may have a variety of cranberry sauce. They're mainly the stuff I'm going to go out and buy in cans today just for a backup. And people would see how many polite people there are to try mine. Why is Thanksgiving when it is? Why do we celebrate Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday? It didn't always used to be like that. The first Thanksgiving, as we learn in history, it was about 16, gosh. First Thanksgiving was in 1621, supposedly. And it lasted for 3 days, as we know. And we heard that yesterday. But why? And then Thanksgiving was celebrated on November 25th, beginning in 1668, but that lasted only 5 years, according to the Farmer's Almanac. President George Washington declared Thursday, November 26th, 1789, as a day of public Thanksgiving. After he was asked by the first federal Congress, according to the National Archives. It was the first time Thanksgiving was celebrated under the country's new constitution. Presidents after Washington would also have their own proclamations, but the months and days Thanksgiving were celebrated varied, you know, sometime in November, sometimes September, sometimes October. President Abraham Lincoln, in his 1863 proclamation, had Thanksgiving being regularly celebrated on the last Thursday in November. The last Thursday in November fell on the last day of the month in 1939, and President Roosevelt moved that year's Thanksgiving to the second to last Thursday of November to allow for a longer Christmas shopping season. Yes, it was going on then. But not all states agreed with that. 32 issued similar proclamations, which 16 kept Thanksgiving as the last Thursday in November. But in 1941, the House of Representatives passed a joint resolution declaring Thanksgiving Day to be the last Thursday in November each year. And the Senate amended the resolution, making the holiday the fourth Thursday in November, and Roosevelt signed it in November 1941. So, today, Thanksgiving is recognized by the federal government to fall on the fourth Thursday of November, and that's why Thanksgiving's on the fourth Thursday of November. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back, and we'll be talking about what's going on over in Israel and with Israel and Hamas.
Free Fire Radio will be broadcasting the morning show 7 to 9 a.m. live from Las Vegas to the National Finals Rodeo December 6th, 7th, and 8th.
Brought to you by our Bronco sponsor, Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Shasta Regional supports the Redding Rodeo, which is a member of the National Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame.
Shasta Regional Medical Center was founded in 1945 and is honored to serve the North State for over 77 years.
Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here.
Black Bear Diner is open for Thanksgiving Day. Their team wants to make it easy by doing the cooking for you. Feast on traditional homestyle turkey, slow-roasted prime rib, and smoked ham entrees with all the fixings. Available Thanksgiving Day starting at 11 a.m. for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Or stop by and enjoy a selection of favorite regular menu items. Spend Thanksgiving with Black Bear Diner. Open daily, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Redding.
Black Bear Diner.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
This holiday season, join the all-new tradition of lights and festivities for the entire family at Redding Garden of Lights.
Taking place November 17th through January 7th at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens.
At the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Explore over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens featuring over 1 million lights. Plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more.
Redding Garden of Lights, presented by Mercy Medical Center, Redding.
Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Find one-of-a-kind fall decor and more at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 10 to 6, Sunday, noon to 5, and Monday, 10 to 6. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage has a wide assortment of fall decor, including artificial flowers, leaves and pumpkins, garland and wreaths, mantle swag, and glassware, pillows, and pine cones. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity and reliability of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Maintain your car warranty with our service while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palisadro, in the Holiday Shopping Center, or in Redding, on Lake Boulevard, near Waterworks Park, and Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Hey, good morning. It's 7:19 in the morning here on the day before Thanksgiving. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, truly a community bank, locally owned and local board of directors. Four branches here in our area, one in Red Bluff, two right here in Redding, and one down in Anderson. You can learn all those locations and more online at bankcornerstone.com. We do business with Cornerstone Community Bank. We're real happy there. Sheriff's Office is reopening, made an official announcement, reopening the jail's third floor. Announced that after a year-long closure, the third floor of the jail has officially reopened. They've had it, they've been moving people into it, but now it's officially reopened. And it's going to give us that 324 inmates now up from the last, because now we have it. And what's that mean? It means, one, that they also, in the same press release, announced that they had arrested six people that they've been after and now have a place for them that, you know, failed to appear in court. There's six or seven of them they arrested to put in there. There's a couple spots that they always keep for those habitual offenders. But these are, this is one of the reasons that when you open the jail, these people had done, you know, a variety of things, from drugs and all that, but failed to show in court. So now they can hold them until they can get them into court. So then they can put them in there for a long time. So congratulations to Sheriff Johnson and the Sheriff's Department. He's using everybody from his own department to get this opened. There's non-contact, it's called, positions. And which allows people to work there and do a lot of the admin work, but they don't, you know, they're not in a, they're not dealing with the prisoners on a, you know, 24-hour-a-day basis by any means. Non-sworn staff, and they're using deputies and to reach to operate the jail at full capacity. And they've been recruiting, and according to the deputy last week, said that they're getting, they're having a number of applicants. And so hopefully we can get that jail open, but hopefully the board of supervisors can get it together and that we can make plans on building at least the first part of the new jail. And that will give us another, what, I think, 125 spots once it starts getting built. That would be interesting, you know, to see what the all these people that are running for office, like Tim Garmon is no longer running. So you've got Susan Barrymore and Dan Sloan, and I'm not sure if there's another one running for 2nd District. And you've got Matt Plummer and Patrick Jones running in their district. And then there's looks like there's just in Mary Rickard's district, because Mary's not running again, it looks like just one person so far, Wynn Carpenter, is running for that position. So we'll have at least two new supervisors on the board. And one of the questions we have to ask is, what's your thoughts on the jail? Where is that on your priority list? Everybody talks public safety. Everybody talks public safety when they run. Every one of them sits across from me and says, public safety. And yet, I haven't seen a big change. I mean, in the last, 6 years, we haven't, we still have the same problems with the jail that when Basenko shut it down, we didn't have enough people. And then Mike Johnson shut it down, and now it's got it back reopened again, as did Basenko after a while. He got it opened again. But we don't have enough spots. There's not enough beds in our hotel for the ones we have to put away. So I would realize there's all these real important things like Second Amendment and resolutions and other things that they're working on. However, I would like to see something like a plan, or, you know, have they started on it? You know, how about, you know, they wanted something from Johnson every week telling them where the jail was. Okay, that makes sense. Now, how about now they do every week they tell us, or somebody, whoever their rep is, tells us where's the new jail? What's the status on the new jail, and how's that going? Okay. See. Oh, the Israeli conflict. it appears that they are going to have a truce in Israel as they exchange hostages or exchange prisoners or hostages, anyway you talk them. They have 50 Israeli hostages will be returned during this. And for 150 women and children that have been arrested by Israel. It's a temporary ceasefire, and this release deal includes freeing three Americans. It should be, it's starting today, or it's supposed to, and Hamas took about 240 hostages from Israel. Now, they know that some of these have been killed already, but the temporary ceasefire is to turn loose 50 of the Israelis, including three Americans, for about 150 of the ones that the Israelis are holding have been arrested or for whatever reason. And it's going to happen over the next 4 days, during which there will be a lull in the fighting. The Prime Minister's office said in a statement, the release of every 10 additional hostages will result in an additional day of respite. The Israeli government, the IDF, and the security forces will continue the war in order to return all the hostages, to complete the elimination of Hamas, and to ensure that Gaza does not renew any threat to the state of Israel. And ceasefire was officially announced hours after Israeli and Hamas leaders said Tuesday that negotiations were in final stages. Good news, getting those people back. But now you're starting to hear. Now they're starting to hear, this ceasefire should be, this should be going on for, you know, ever. No, that's not going to happen. And the reason it's not going to happen is 1,204 reasons. That's what Hamas killed in the attack on October 7th. And that's not going to stop. They're going to eradicate Hamas as much as they can. They'll never be able to get all of it. But they can take out leadership. A lot of the leadership is in other countries. And that doesn't mean they're safe. Because the Mossad has a track record of tracking down people, of finding them and eliminating them who have attacked Israel like this. So if the Hamas leadership who planned all this is, I don't know, in Minnesota, and it's not, but if it was in Minnesota, they might, you know, be looking over their shoulders because the Israelis have a long memory. So, but this is good. If they can start getting these hostages back, it also gives a chance for more intelligence gathering from the Israelis, but it also gives Hamas a chance to refit and resupply, and they're doing that with the material that's coming to them, and they'll be able to reinforce their positions. So what this just does is both sides are just kind of taking a pause, and we'll see what happens after this. But they said if they release for every 10 more, it's another day. Now, what if they release 5? You know, it's just all gamesmanship now. Anyway, Israeli forces continue to target Hamas with deadly airstrikes and ground operations inside Gaza ahead of the Thursday ceasefire. So we'll see what happens today, and see how see what happens tomorrow to see if it truly is going to be a ceasefire. What I'm seeing, too, is there's people being fired from their jobs. Like, one was the anti-hate organization in this one state who's the leader of their Stop Hate was on her Facebook or on her social media, where she was saying is that Israeli was lying. There were no murdered babies. And she used the term, you know, the river to the sea. And so the attorney general of the state fired her from her job because he said she's using hate speech and she's supposed to be in charge of stopping that. So, okay, let's take a quick break. And so we've caught up on Israel. We've caught up on why is Thanksgiving on the fourth day. And to let you know, tomorrow will be a we're closed, of course. We're going to be closed Thursday and Friday, so our people can get off. So we'll be doing best of shows. And the idea behind this is so our people can have a couple of days off right here at Thanksgiving, which is probably one of my favorite holidays, too. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Jeff Wurst, locally owned, locally operated, a better-known business, does just the best in repairing windshields. Whether it's a small chip or a crack, large crack, he can fix it. And he doesn't take chances with your safety. You know, like if it's a crack and he looks at it and he goes, nope, you need to have that windshield replaced. He means it. Otherwise, he can fix it. And when he does it quickly. He does it efficiently, like I said, and he guarantees his work. For a free inspection and analysis, bring your car, truck, or RV, because he fixes those big windshields in the RVs, down to 3208 South Market Street for a free inspection and analysis. You can give him a call at 530-241-8373 for an appointment. That's Crackmaster Windshield Repair right here in Reading. We'll be right back.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us as we broadcast live during the National Finals Rodeo.
Yes, we'll be live from Las Vegas with our morning show of December 6th, 7th, and 8th. We'll be interviewing the leadership of the Professional Rodeo Cowboy Association, stock contractors, and competitors.
We'd like to thank our title sponsor, Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino, as we bring these live broadcasts from Las Vegas.
The Redding Rancheria is presenting Native American Night as a kickoff to the 2024 Reading Rodeo. The tribe is grateful for the partnership with the Reading Rodeo Association.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. And remember, next May 2024 is the Reading Rodeo. Tickets go on sale December 13th at readingrodeo.com.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. This is Carl Linda Bott. Join us as we broadcast live with our morning show from Las Vegas at the National Finals Rodeo, December 6th, 7th, and 8th.
We'd like to thank our Broncos sponsor, Holiday Harbor, your full-service marina. Get the best rates on Lake Shasta at Holiday Harbor. And remember off-season rates during the month of May, including Rodeo Week.
Rodeo at night, play on the lake during the day at Holiday Harbor. For reservations and information, go to lakeshasta.com.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hey there, friends. RC here with Tobacco and Brew. This month, we're bringing you an exclusive and new cigar, the 1502XO. I'll be very deliberate with this one, folks. This is the smoothest cigar I've smoked ever. The 1502XO. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Turkey in the straw. What did you say?
Hey,
rolling, twisting up a high at the claw. Hitty apple tune called Turkey in the Straw.
No, you don't have to stop that. I'm just smiling. Turkey in the Straw. That's cool. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will tell you, in 14 years of doing this, I have never heard that song.
Yeah, I didn't really know what that was from either.
Well, that's got to be 100 years old, that song.
It's black and white.
It is
indeed in black and white.
Well, it's got to be, I mean the song itself.
Oh.
It's got to be well over 100 years old. So, Turkey in the Straw. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, another local business here in town, Four Winds Jewelry. It's the only full-service jewelry store in Redding. It's got a watch repairman. You can do anything with watches there. They've got a great selection of jewelry. They're bringing it. They're getting it all out because starting December 1st, my friends, is, yes, their big annual Christmas sale, 20% off. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Right here in Reading, locally owned, locally operated, good people down there. They're open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. It's a great place to find a present, perfect present for your loved one. Okay, where was I? Hodge Farms is, everybody, people go to Hodge Farms for to be scared to death at Halloween and other places. They're bringing a bit of Christmas cheer to the farm starting the Friday after Thanksgiving, so day after tomorrow. Families can visit Hawes to see a bit of Christmas wonderland. They brought in a 50-foot-tall Christmas tree, ice rink, and even a Christmas light train. So, I don't know if you ever watch this. I don't, but I'm sure people do the great Christmas light fight where they I've seen the commercials. They go all over the nation, and people put their lights up for see which is the best in the nation. So, but their Christmas train ride was designed by the family that won the ABC's Great Christmas Light Fight. Greg Haas says he wants people just to get the farm feel when they come to visit. So I think that's cool. So if you're looking for something to do out there, it's opening, like I said, day after tomorrow. To help save people from waiting there, when you purchase a ticket online, visitors will also pick a time slot that they'll be coming. And you can find more there at it on the Hawes Farm website. That's kind of cool. Today, at 8 o'clock, we're going to have, Mayor Mike DeQuisto join us and do a kind of a catch-up here on what's happening with the Reading City Council and those things. Ben, what are you going to be doing this Thanksgiving?
I'm hosting a... you asking me?
Yeah.
Ben. I'm hosting my parents are hosting a family of, I believe, 9 Ukrainians.
Speak up just a little bit. Get in closer.
My family is hosting a family of about 9 Ukrainians.
9 Ukrainians. Is Christina, and Christine is not going to be a group of that. This is a different group of Ukrainians.
Yes, they're missionaries, and they've been through like Afghanistan, and obviously Ukraine. When the war started, they went back a few times to assist.
So they've been in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're hosting that, and then everybody else in your family.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have a large. Can everybody get one table?
It's a few tables all together. It's going to be Viking table feeling.
Viking table? Does the biggest gets the most food or what? I mean.
I suppose. I'm bulking a little bit myself.
You're bulking a little bit. Well, Reading has the people in Reading, Good News Rescue Mission, and so many others have provided so much in dinners and stuffing the bus and all these kind of things that hopefully everybody can have something that's out there or have a place to eat. You know, there's places out there too, restaurants and such that are open for people that don't want to. I talked to a lady yesterday, said that she's heading down to Sacramento and her daughter has got them all reservations at a restaurant down there to have Thanksgiving dinner. I don't know. To me, it's not so much you bulk up that day, especially if, you know, with all the activity and all that, and everybody sits down and has Thanksgiving. It's the best part of Thanksgiving is like the next day, if you have turkey left over and dressing and that
all
kind
those
of stuff.
Leftovers.
The leftovers. I mean, you can do leftovers all through the weekend, and then come Monday you can throw the carcass out with everything and all the extra stuff that was left over for trash. Anyway, so hosting 9 Ukrainians, that's cool. And how did your parents meet them?
I think my mom met their mom probably like church, and then it probably came up that they both had very large families.
Uh-huh.
And then we met and became very good friends.
Okay.
Well, they still lived in Reading.
Oh, that's cool. That's great. Okay. What else is happening in our world? You know, I'm hearing two different things. Of course, you know, you listen to, you know, you read. I read a lot. And it's, you know, things like, it's going to be, you know, a tight Christmas. And then I hear this is going to be one of the biggest, Black Fridays ever. So Black Friday, of course, is Friday. And people go online. They go out to the stores to buy. So, okay, this portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. Judy's been helping veterans, families, seniors, business owners since 1993. With insurance companies leading and insurance prices going sky high, if you can find an insurance company, give Judy a call at 530-221-0441. For a free analysis and evaluation, she'll help you find that insurance you need on her insurance side. The financial side, if you're worried about, hey, I'm healthy and am I going to outlive my savings and my 401s and all this, you can talk to her financial branch about that. Again, for a free review and evaluation, 530-221-0441, located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. We'll be right back.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Reading Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you, guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Reading Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Free Fire Radio will be broadcasting the morning show 7 to 9 a.m. live from Las Vegas to the National Finals Rodeo December 6th, 7th, and 8th.
Brought to you by our Bronco sponsor, Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Shasta Regional supports the Reading Rodeo, which is a member of the National Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame.
Shasta Regional Medical Center was founded in 1945 and is honored to serve the North State for over 77 years.
Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has the perfect gift this holiday season. Car wash packages starting at only $11. They make great stocking stuffers and are excellent gifts for those who are a little hard to shop for. Choose from 4 different car wash packages. Buy 5 car wash packages and get 1 free. Or buy 10 and get 3 free. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
This holiday season, join the all-new tradition of lights and festivities for the entire family at Reading Garden of Lights.
taking place November 17th through January 7th at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens
at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Explore over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens featuring over 1 million lights, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more.
Redding Garden of Lights, presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding.
Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Do you have that dream of a book burning a hole into your soul? It's not too late to join us for National Novel Writing Month to make that dream a reality. Find us at NaNoWriMo.org to connect. That's NaNoWriMo.org. And of course, this holiday season, we want to thank our troops, both active and retired, for the opportunity you've given us to make these dreams come true. So we give a big salute to our troops.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is proud to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute to thank our veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces. North Valley Distributing, serving both the electrical and electronics industries, a one-stop shopping experience. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-222-1500. 530-222-1500. Proud to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
I am human and I need to be loved, just like everybody else does.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this morning, getting ready for Thanksgiving, 7:46 in the morning, and here on the 22nd. Of November, and today's going to have a high near 68 and a low near 49 tonight. Tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day, is going to be beautiful. Sunny with a high near 65. A little windy, but not too bad. And Thursday night, clear with a low around 43. And it's going to be sunny through next Tuesday. But the temperatures are dropping 41, 40, 38. Just be aware of that if you have your animals outside or other things. Weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane out of Anderson is a locally owned, locally operated, veteran-owned company. You see a headline, and you just got to look at it. Super pigs. Dun, 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 dun. Super pigs. An exploding population of hard-to-eradicate super pigs in Canada is threatening to spill south of the border. And northern states like Minnesota, North Dakota, and Montana are taking steps to stop the invasion. These are pigs that we're kind of familiar with them down here in the lower 48. A cross between the wild Eurasian boar. And with the size and the high fertility of the domestic swine to create a super pig that's spreading out of control. The professor at the University of Saskatchewan said they're the most invasive animal on the planet and an ecological train wreck. Well, I think a lot of us know that because we've been living with pigs down here in southern states, but now they're spreading. And a lot of them are... they're feral hogs, but a lot of them do have the Asian boar strain in them. They're not native to America, but they've been, gosh, since the 1600s, they've been here. The market up in Saskatchewan or up in Canada collapsed when the government actually encouraged farmers to raise the wild boar. And when that market collapsed in 2001, farmers just cut their fences and turned them loose. The thing is I thought, well, gosh, maybe it's too cold, but obviously not. They're very good at surviving Canadian winters. They'll eat anything. and they can spread devastating diseases to hog farms. They reproduce quickly. That means that because of that, 65% or more of a wild pig population could be killed every year, and they'll still increase. The success rate for hunters is only about 2 to 3%. And some states have banned hunting because it makes the pigs more wary and nocturnal, tougher to track down and eradicate. It already caused about $2.5 billion in damages to U.S. crops every year. And a woman in Texas was killed by wild pigs in 2019. So some have made it illegal, you know, some states have said it's illegal to import them, and if they find them, they'll put people in jail for it. They've had, in Texas, they hunt them from helicopters with automatic weapons, if you can imagine that. From helicopters with automatic weapons, shooting at pigs because there's so many of them. You have to use every tool you can to try and prevent it. Ground traps, net guns, states embrace crowdsourced squeal-on-pigs tracking programs. They've also studied poisons such as sodium nitrate, but they use that to can harm other species. So here it is. I had no idea that the Canadians were having this big a problem with wild pigs. And now it's another illegal coming across our border, it looks like. But they're not going through checkpoints or climbing fences. Speaking of climbing fences, the hospitals are starting to get a number of people in from the border that those 30-foot fences that it's very, very difficult to climb people have been climbing them, and when you get on the top, they fall off, and when they fall off, they end up in the hospital, and they end up in the hospital for a long time, not just because of broken legs and stuff, but as we discussed the other day, that when they come into the hospitals, they end up because they may have other untreated illnesses, untreated medical conditions, and they end up staying there for a long time. Now, I don't know, but we're traveling. You're staying at home, Ben, and Christina is staying at home. Are you staying at home for Thanksgiving? Okay, you're staying at home. Well, we're traveling, but we're only traveling a couple hours. If you haven't started traveling already, there's going to be about 2.7 million people getting on airplanes. They're expected to board flights on Wednesday, and millions more planning to drive to Thanksgiving celebrations. Airport officials say that, I think we can handle this. They're going to avoid the kind of massive disruptions that marred past holiday seasons, such as the meltdown at Southwest Airlines last Christmas. They've added tens of thousands of employees to the airlines just for this season and in the last couple of years. And Southwest has brought more winter equipment to keep planes moving. Security lines at airport could be long because of crowds. So if you're going to get there, it always says 2 hours earlier, you might want to give yourself another couple hours. Delta Airlines is telling passengers to arrive at the airport at least 2 hours before the flight if they're traveling with the United States, 3 hours early if they're flying overseas, and maybe earlier on Sunday and Monday. So, and also the FAA, if this makes you feel good, they're facing shortages of air traffic controllers at key facilities that could cause reductions in flights. U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said during a news conference that the government had prepared for holiday travel by hiring more air traffic controllers, opening new air routes along the East Coast, and providing grants to airports for snowplows and de-icing equipment. So, there you go. If Pete's got it, it must be okay. I don't know. You know, I hate flying on holidays. We're going to be traveling around Christmas time, but it won't be at Christmas time. And so, you know, you got to kind of ask yourself, you know, it's already a pain to go through airports. And I realize there's reasons, you know, TSA and all this, you know, to stop terrorists and people from bringing on large bottles of shampoo, which is dangerous, or, you know, toys that kids have that could be dangerous. You know, if you've got an umbrella, that's a problem. All of these. So, I mean, I realize that TSA is there for a reason. So, Christina, come on back in here. And I want to talk to you about, in the last couple minutes here, I want to talk to you about Thanksgiving in the Ukraine. Do you all celebrate Thanksgiving in the Ukraine? Or is that just not a big thing there?
Excuse me. Actually, we don't have Thanksgiving.
Yeah, because that's like, an American-type holiday.
It's super American holiday. Yeah. And
do you have days like that?
Thanksgiving. We can say, like, we have it's called День подяки. It means like a thankful day.
Uh-huh.
But it's around, if I'm not mistaken, Easter time, like a week before Easter.
Right.
You just become more thankful for who is around you. And
do you all, I mean, but it's not an
it's
official,
not like
it's not an official day or anything.
No, it's not an official day, just maybe kind of Friday or Sunday, something like that.
Yeah.
When you just, they can
do your families get together? Or?
No.
So when do your families get together?
So usually it's like twice a year. It's was at the 7th of January, because we used to celebrate Christmas at the 7th of January.
Really?
Yeah, the 6th was the Christmas Eve, and the 7th was the Christmas. Because we just celebrate Christmas like all the USSR countries.
But so now you, we are so returning. You celebrated on the 7th of January.
Yeah, but now Ukraine is returning to the European requirements, and we will be celebrating the 25th, as I know, from this year, beginning of this year.
So, turkeys. Do you have turkey?
No. And they're expensive. We don't have them, and we don't even have like a culture to eat them. So it's kind of interesting for me.
So what do you all have when you have your day of Thanksgiving, you know, when you get together for your Thanksgiving, or not your Thanksgiving, but when you get together as a family?
So we have all or Christmas or Easter. It's like two of the main holidays that we have together. And then we make our pierogi, what I'm bringing.
Pierogi.
Yeah, pierogi with
potatoes. And tell people if they don't know what pierogi is, tell them what it is.
Yeah, it's kind of like a dumplings with potatoes, and you make like a really wonderful mushroom sauce. And also there's a variety, like a pierogi with berries, and you like add some sugar on the top with sour cream, and it's so good. Oh, I just think about this and I already feel myself kind of starving.
Do you all have meat?
Yeah. We have meat, but like before Christmas, we believe that we try to fast. I'm not sure if I'm
fast.
Yeah.
No, fast is right. You don't eat.
Yeah, we don't eat meat and stuff, anything produced by animal. And then, like, on Christmas Day, the Easter, we start eating all the meats.
Okay.
But, like, usually on the evenings, like, we try to have, like, fasting dinner.
Okay.
So, like, no meat, no animal products. Only maybe, like, some dairy things for kids. But it's still super wonderful. Mm-hmm. Also, there we have, like, a super cool tradition in Dumplings.
Uh-huh.
We put, like, a wish. So in our pierogi, we put a wish. And, like, all of the families, one person will have a wish in their pierogi. So there will be, like, oh, you will receive $1 million, or you'll be super healthy. Or also we start making, like, a new tradition with
so
my
when
brothers.
You, so when you bite into your pierogi, there could be a piece of paper or something?
Yeah, but we wrap them in, like, a foil.
Oh, okay.
You know that people will don't eat paper.
Paper
and
don't
it's so
paper.
Cool
oh,
because
okay.
they're ready to try to eat all that they have in the dish to to figure out.
Okay, so in there, what it says is, may you win $1 million this year, or be healthy, or let their war stop, or stuff like that. Oh,
yeah,
that's cool.
It's so cute because everybody's so excited to eat all of what you have on the plate.
But it's a time for having the family together.
And it's the painful thing right now.
Yes, I know it is, hon. Are you going to be able to get a hold of your family during this time?
I will call them, but unfortunately, all in different countries. My brother is in Poland, his wife is in England, my mom is in Netherlands, my dad is in Ukraine, and so I'll be trying to reach them how I can. And I really miss them, so I just want everybody now to be with the family, be thankful who they are and with whom they are, and just the family. It's so wonderful to have who to call and who to eat at dinner on Thanksgiving.
You know what, my friends? We sometimes forget how thankful we should be. All right, we're going to take a break from the news, and we'll be right back.
To the town of Alfreel rode a stranger one fine day.
Americans to be grateful.
The president said we have so much to be thankful for as a nation, as Americans gather with family and friends and enjoy holiday traditions.
We can all give thanks to the gift that is our nation.
He's also thankful for the men and women in the U.S. Armed Forces and their families. He said, we owe them big. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Israel and Hamas have agreed to a four-day pause in the fighting in Gaza. This will allow for the release of 50 hostages, mainly women and children, being held by Hamas, and 150 Palestinian women and teenagers in Israeli custody. It's believed that several Americans are among the Hamas hostages to be set free. Israel saying it remains committed to obliterating Hamas. North Korea claims a new eye in the sky, reporting the successful launch of a military spy satellite, and South Korea is reacting.
A working spy satellite has long been on Kim Jong-un's wish list. It would allow him to monitor the movements of South Korean and U.S. troops here on the peninsula and to plan his own nuclear attacks more precisely. In response, Seoul has announced it will restart surveillance operations along its border with the North.
The BBC's Gene McKenzie reporting from Seoul, South Korea. Stocks are higher on Wall Street. The Dow is up 94 points. The Nasdaq Composite Index ahead 56 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Not only is it open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also a time you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. But what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the member satisfaction rate compared to health insurance. Double. MediShare is a proven thing, too. For over 30 years, it's a Christian community of more than 400,000 members. And here's the thing, too. If you join before November 30th and you mention the promo code SHARE, you'll get another $150 savings. So I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline's November 30th. So call now and you'll save even more. Here's the number. 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. 844-45-BIBLE.
The office of Ukraine's president reports one civilian has died in the south over the past 24 hours. At least 10 other people were injured.
In southern Berislav, where the Russian army dropped several dozen aerial bombs, a 65-year-old man died under the rubble of his own house, and three other city residents were injured. During the shelling of three dozen cities and villages in the Kherson region, at least four civilians were killed. In the eastern Donetsk region, one person was injured in the town of Selidov, where the Russians destroyed a hospital earlier this week, and rescuers continue to clear the rubble. In the area of the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, the Russians shelled Nikopol on the opposite side of the Dnieper River, wounding two men and damaging residential buildings. I'm Charles Zolotesma.
The German defense minister vows to keep supporting Ukraine in its fight with Russia, pledging further military aid worth $1.4 billion. News and analysis, townhall.com. The United Auto Workers Union wants to bring non-union automakers into the fold.
UAW President Sean Fain set lofty expectations for what he can gain for his union members and delivered on many of them, including significant pay raises and improved benefits.
The membership's number one in all this, and, it's a lot on your mind when you're going through this process, but I feel good about where we are and where we're headed.
Now the UAW head wants to open membership to non-union automakers with U.S. operations like Toyota and electric vehicle makers like Tesla.
I believe the time is right in this country to organize those areas, and naturally, the company is going to come at us with everything they have.
I'm Julie Walker.
Three people killed, three more missing. After a landslide devastated a remote fishing community in southeast Alaska, Governor Dunleavy issuing a disaster declaration for Wrangell. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on the day before Thanksgiving, the 22nd of November, 8:05 in the morning. And the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Ben's at the helm. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
And it's National Cranberry Relish Day, and you've already heard my problems with cranberry relish. So is there another national day out there, like National Pet a Turkey or something?
Choose between one and two.
Two.
National Jukebox Day.
Jukebox Day. Do you know what a jukebox is?
Only from video games.
Okay. Thank you.
From a post-apocalypse era back in, like...
You know, they're getting younger. Our producers, I thought, okay, you know, Liam was 19. Well, Ben can still be grounded. Let me put it that way.
Does he know how much it costs to play a song in the jukebox? Does he know how much it cost? It used to cost to play a song in
a
jukebox?
Oh, what was it? It was like
a
dime or a nickel, yeah. And then quarter got you like five songs,
yeah,
or something. Yeah. Did you know that when the first Black Bear Diner started in Mount Shasta, Bruce Dean, who was cooking there, and his partner, They would eat there. Bruce would eat there. That's where he got fed. But the money they would take out of those little jukeboxes that used to be on the table.
On the table, yeah.
They'd collect the money out of that in the jukebox. That was their spending money. I mean, and you think about it, and now, look at Black Bear Diner. It's everywhere.
No jukeboxes.
No jukeboxes. Maybe I'll talk to him about that. Why don't you bring back the jukeboxes? Because it's just something else you can get sued over.
Probably.
I am let me give the weather here. Sorry. The weather today is going to be really nice, high near 68. Tonight, low around 49. Now, tomorrow, Thanksgiving, is going to be sunny with a high near 65. There will be some winds there, and you may get some gusts, so just be ready for that. Thursday night, clear with a low around 43, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday are all identical. Highs around 61 or 63, sunny, and lows in the low 40s or the high 30s. And the weather reports are always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane out of Anderson, a family-owned business, locally owned, locally operated. And they treat their customers like warm friends. It's a veteran-owned business. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. I can't say enough about them. You can give them a call at 530-365-3793. I'm here with Reading Mayor Mike Gaul-Tequisto.
Good morning.
Good morning, buddy. So, and by the way, thanks for the big Thanksgiving shout-out from SunGold. And I'm right back at you. So, have a great Thanksgiving. Michael, this is kind of a, you know, Christina, when she was just on and you were listening to it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we forget about how thankful we should be in this country.
It does seem like there's more negative news and cutting people down and complaining as opposed to once a year you're thankful. You really should be thankful every day or every week or take time, and it makes you feel good to be thankful.
Somebody told me once, and I try to do this, you should wake up in the morning and say, what am I thankful for? You know, and it works. If you can start off your day with a positive, like, you know, I'm thankful I live in a country where, you know, I can turn on the water faucet and water comes out.
I'm thankful I woke up.
Well, that's the other thing. But when you hear stories from people that are here and that that their families are scattered everywhere because of war or whatever, And then, you know, because, you know, when I'm scanning over the headlines and everything, trying to find something positive, like you said in the headlines, it's very, very difficult. I mean, I could go on and on and on with, as Linda calls it, throat cutting, or what did she say, wrist cutting news. And I just frankly don't want to do that today.
Well, it gets to you after a while.
Yeah.
It's not fun. It's not good. And there's better ways to spend your time. I sort of look at it as prioritizing. And people want to talk about politics and want to talk about this and that. And I say, you know, there's so much more to life than being an elected official in politics. There's your family. There's your religion. There's your children. There's your grandkids, your grandparents. There's community activities. There's your friends. There's your social network. There's a thousand things that should be way more important than some of this silly government stuff.
Yeah, it should be. Unfortunately, the silly government stuff impacts on us.
Yes, it does.
But you're right. There's some things that when you look at it, you wonder why things happen.
I'm still wondering why some things happen.
That's the other thing. When I wake up in the morning, I'm thankful for this, but I wonder why that happened. I mean, and then things happen in your life that are just that you don't see coming. It's not like it's life changing, but it's like, whoa, I didn't see that.
It could be a curveball,
yeah,
or something,
or somebody's upset about something, and they never say anything to you. I'm not talking about family, but just, you know, like acquaintances and friends, and then all of a sudden it comes out. Well, this happened and started 6 months ago. Okay. Why didn't you say something? I mean, my God, we've known each other forever.
Yeah.
And they don't. And it just boils up in them finally.
That's not good when that happens.
No, that's not good. That's not healthy.
So this is going to be my last talk show on your program as the mayor.
That's right.
If it really matters.
It does.
I'll be so happy. So I have a list of subject areas that we can talk about.
Okay, I'm ready.
And I'll give them to you, and you can decide which one you want to talk about, or maybe your listeners can decide.
Okay.
Rodeo grounds lease riverfront plan, surplus land act, jail floor reopen, utility rate increase, REU rate increase, department heads leaving, new mayor next meeting, city's unmet needs, budget using ARPA funds, which is one-time money, or questions.
Wow. Every one of those is an hour.
Yeah, I know.
So we're going to have to really cut these down. Well, let's start with the rodeo lease. That was just voted on the other week.
This is one of my favorite topics of all times. And so what actually happened, I can go through the whole story, but the bottom line is that the Rodeo Association asked for a three-year extension to their current lease.
Right.
Which would bring them to a total of 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it because they knew they could get 5 votes in favor of it, and that's what they wanted. And there was some dissension and discussion among the Rodeo Association membership and among some of the council members as to whether that was the right approach
mm-hmm.
to go and do it. Personally, I would not. I would have done it differently. I would have asked for a long-term lease. But I'm not on the Rodeo Association, and I support them, and if that's what they want to do and ask for a long-term lease later on, that's okay with me. Hopefully they'll get it. The risk is that you don't know who's going to be on the council then whether they will do that or not.
Well, there could be some significant changes. Who's up for next election?
So the next election is in a year, next November, and there are two seats up. Julie Winter is up. And Mark Mazzano was up.
Well, I heard that Julie may not be running. Was that just a rumor? Or?
I've heard the same rumor, but you'd have to ask her. I don't.
Yeah,
I can't speak for her.
Yeah.
If she comes on your show again.
Well, she will.
She will. I'm sure she will. I don't know. It seems to me that
maybe
she's in her second term, and 8 years is a long time.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
For any kind of volunteer job, irrespective of what the job is.
Well, that brings us up to something else. How much do y'all get paid for that job?
$600 a month.
Okay.
Plus $25 for a cell phone allowance on occasion. The first check I got, we're technically city employees, so the first check I got, they have to calculate that to an hourly rate. And the hourly rate was like $2.25 or something.
An hour, right?
Yeah. Well below minimum wage.
Should the city council be paid more? Be paid like the board of supervisors who just brought up getting a 40% raise. That was voted down. I don't even think that even got up on the dais.
When you take the job, you know, or you should know what the benefits are, and you should. That's part of your implicit contract with the voters that you'll agree to take the benefits. In the big scheme of things, would it help recruit better people and people that could spend more time at it? I think so, because the group of people that can afford to basically do the job for volunteer is not as big as the group of people that would do it if they actually got paid more money.
Well, so, it makes up the difference between the time they have to speak and take from their jobs.
Yeah.
But what you have is retired, you have
retired people like me, or people that the $600 doesn't, it's not, I mean, it's $600, but it's not, you know, a big deal one way or the other.
Or using it as a stepping stone up to another place.
They actually passed, the state legislature passed a law that said, and this takes effect in January, it says based on the population of the city, there's a certain range that you can increase your current salaries to. The $600 is set by some kind of state law. And I think Reading falls into the category of up to $1,900 a month.
Okay.
Which is still barely over minimum wage, depending how many hours you spend. But it's something to consider. But the council would have to want to bring it up and have a discussion and see if they wanted to
I thought a 40% raise for the Board of Supervisors was a little high, extremely high. But I also always thought that $600 is for the amount of time you all spend and for the amount of impact you have on people and the budget and all of that.
It's a little low.
It's really low.
It's very low.
Yeah, and like you said, the people that do it are people that can afford to do it.
Well, even at, not to belittle it, but even at $1,900 a month, that's what's that, 20 grand a year, 22 grand a year? It's not very much for what you need to live just in society today. So it would be more helpful, and you might get better people or more people to apply to run for city council.
Okay, we're here with Mayor Mike DeQuisto, his last public appearance. Interview.
Unless we have an exploding turkey over Thanksgiving.
Unless we have an exploding turkey. Mark?
Well, that's a whole separate topic as to what we're going to do about the mayor. We should probably talk about that in a separate segment.
All right. Hey, NorCal Traction Equipment, locally owned, locally operated business down in Anderson for all your Kubota needs. Tractors, side-by-sides, you need it, they've got it. You can get it for a day, a week. Buy one. They've got it all from small to large. They're located at 2540 Gateway Drive in Anderson. The phone number is 530-221-6800. They do a lot for our community. They are huge in Toys for Tots. They provide box after box of toys for those children that need it. That's NorCal Tractor and Equipment. Like I said, locally owned, locally operated. We'll be right back.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us as we broadcast live during the National Finals Rodeo.
Yes, we'll be live from Las Vegas with our morning show of December 6th, 7th, and 8th. We'll be interviewing the leadership of the Professional Rodeo Cowboy Association, stock contractors, and competitors.
We'd like to thank our title sponsor, Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino, as we bring these live broadcasts from Las Vegas.
The Redding Rancheria is presenting Native American Night as a kickoff to the 2024 Reading Rodeo. The tribe is grateful for the partnership with the Reading Rodeo Association.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. And remember, next May 2024 is the Reading Rodeo. Tickets go on sale December 13th at readingrodeo.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Blackbear Diner is open for Thanksgiving Day. Their team wants to make it easy by doing the cooking for you. Feast on traditional homestyle turkey, slow-roasted prime rib, and smoked ham entrees with all the fixings. Available Thanksgiving Day starting at 11 a.m. for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Or stop by and enjoy a selection of favorite regular menu items. Spend Thanksgiving with Blackbear Diner. Open daily, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Redding.
Blackbear Diner.
This holiday season, join the all-new tradition of lights and festivities for the entire family at Redding Garden of Lights.
Taking place November 17th through January 7th at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens.
At the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Explore over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens featuring over 1 million lights. Plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more.
Redding Garden of Lights, presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding.
Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson has teamed up with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute to thank our veterans and those currently serving in the military for their service. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage features one-of-a-kind decorations, ornaments, wreaths, and garland, vintage glassware and table settings, paintings, jewelry, sports memorabilia, and collectibles along with toys and treasures in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 10 to 6, Sunday, noon to 5, and Monday, 10 to 6.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and DeBott. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, one of the top 50 cardiovascular hospitals in the United States. They have a residency program that's brought 13 new doctors into our area, and this is going to be a yearly thing. Next year, 10 or 12 more. It's a three-year program, and so they'll be with us from 1 to 3 years, depending on where they are in the program. And it introduces new doctors to our area here, and hopefully the ones I've talked to are real happy that they're here. So maybe we can encourage doctors to stay.
That'd be good.
Yeah, or go get their specialties and come back to Redding. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. We're here with Mayor Mike DeQuisto, and we're talking about the lease for the rodeo grounds, but then surplus land. And, I mean, I sat in that meeting, and I heard three different interpretations of the surplus land law that the state of California is rewriting right now. And you've got one interpretation. Julie or Tanessa has another one. And I'm still not sure where the city council is on this.
Well,
and I like him.
No, I know. Everybody has an opinion. Some opinions are worth more than other opinions, but they're all, at the end of the day, opinions.
Yeah.
I place more weight, in my opinion, being a lawyer since 1978, than I do in someone's opinion who is not a lawyer. Just because. Just like I wouldn't, if one of the council members gave a medical diagnosis because she had medical experience, I wouldn't presume to know more than her diagnosis for the medical experience because I don't have that.
Right.
So, but anyway. And the other part is that the English language is inherently not clear sometimes. So when they write something and what do they intend for it, how do you actually implement it are two different questions.
Mm-hmm.
So the Surplus Land Act, the gist of the Surplus Land Act is the state saying one of the tools in our tool chest to get more housing is to require cities and government agencies that have surplus land to offer it to a group of housing consortiums to see if they want to use it to build housing for low income or whatever the housing, subsidized housing is.
Right.
So that's the purpose behind it. But then the question becomes, well, what is surplus land? I use a common sense definition and say surplus land is the vacant lot on the corner that, you know, it's nobody's using it. There's nothing built on it or it had a building and it was torn down. It's not being used for anything. It's surplus. The rodeo grounds is not surplus. It's being used. It's been used for a long time. So the convention center is not surplus either. But under the law, and this is one of the strange parts, the city council can make a finding that the land is surplus even if it's not vacant, which boggles the mind. You know, how can you go and do that? But the city council does have that ability if they go and do it. The other issue with the Surplus Land Act is that once you declare it surplus, you have to send it to these housing consortiums, and they've got 90, if somebody's interested, you've got, I think, 90 days to negotiate in good faith with them. And it doesn't say what happens after that. So does that mean you can negotiate in good faith for 90 days and then just say, oh, we're not going to sell it to you? Well, then was it good faith negotiation to begin with? What do you really want to go do with this? So there's that issue. Then there's the issue of if you go through that process and nobody wants to buy it, you have to write on the deed, which is like the deed to your house, if at any time in the future, any time, someone wants to build housing on this property and they build 10 units or more, 15% has to be low-income housing. And that's on the deed forever. So I look at it and say, why would you want to declare it surplus? If you don't want housing down there, why would you even want to go down that road? So how do you not go down the road? Well, if you have an existing lease and you extend the lease, there's an argument that you're not selling it and it's not a new lease. But the law doesn't say a new lease. It just says if you want to lease the property. So that's an open question.
Okay.
So one of the issues that the state housing community development department, they issue guidelines as to how they interpret the statute. And one of the questions that has come up a number of times, because it's not unique to Reading, it's from all government agencies, which is, what do we do if we have an existing lease and we want to extend it? Does that comply? Do we have to come to you and offer to the housing agencies? What about the people that have the existing structures and the business and all this kind of stuff? Do we have to or not? The state, I believe, will say, no, you don't have to for an existing lease. Because otherwise, first of all, it decreases their workload. They don't have to review every single existing lease and decide if it complies or not. And it makes common sense. Why disrupt existing economic relationships if you don't have to? That was never the intent of the law. So if they issue a regulation that says that, that takes away a huge hurdle that the people have, I think, artificially placed in front of the long-term lease for the rodeo.
Well, it just makes sense. I mean, we've already been leasing that place for 75 years.
Yeah.
Now, but then you throw into the riverfront plan.
Ugh.
Which, and I will say, is the city has been offering plenty of time for people to come out there and make comments. And
yes, they have.
Make decisions. Y'all have been doing a good job on that. But the riverfront plan, how long is it going to be before they come back with something?
Depends who you ask. If you ask an optimist, they'll say a year and a half from now. If you ask a realist, they'll say God knows.
Okay, well, let's just say they bring back a plan
In 2 years. Say they bring it back in 2 years.
And this plan is taking in everybody's comments and thoughts and all that and saying this is what we want, a riverfront, which goes from, the Sheridan all the way up to Kutcher's Land.
Basically, includes Kutcher's Land, too.
Includes Kutcher's Land, but...
That's a whole separate
issue. That's a separate issue. I mean, he can build anything he wants there as long as he meets the requirements.
He doesn't need to be part of that plan.
No, he doesn't need to be that. It could be any – but we have no idea what it looks like.
No, we don't. And I'm not sure how they're going to come to a consensus on what to do with the rodeo grounds, because there's people that want to basically build a whole new rodeo convention center. And let's say you want to go down that road and you want to do that. Logistically, how are you going to do it? You probably can't. First of all, you got to get funding, and who knows if there's funding for anything like that. Second of all.
Yeah, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars here.
Second of all, there's going to be a time where the rodeo is going to have to be displaced while they're doing the construction to build whatever arena they want. Well, where do they go? And if they're displaced, how do you know when they get back they're going to have the same kind of deal that they had before? I mean, I look at it and say it's part of a – It's wrong to say it's a conspiracy, but I think it's part of a long-term plan by McConnell and the related people to ultimately take it over. And I think ultimately they can take over Kutcher's property as well. And I think that's the biggest issue. I ran on that. I still think it's the biggest issue that faces the community. There is nothing wrong with the Civic Center or the rodeo grounds or Turtle Bay or any of that property down there where it needs to be hugely fixed and changed and do anything. You can do it without doing this riverfront plan. The only reason the plan got approved, the only reason, is at the meeting where there was a vote to declare it surplus and sell it to the McConnell group, two people on the council, Kristen Schrader and Julie Winter, were adamantly in favor of selling it. And incidentally, Tanessa Audette spoke as a member of the public, adamantly in favor of selling it and developing it. Mark Mazzano and I were against it. Erin Reznor was the swing vote, and she was running for supervisor. So she, I haven't talked to her specifically, but she didn't really want to take a position. So she said, well, why don't we take some of the money we've got from the federal government and do our own plan, which kicks the can down the road. It doesn't approve a sale, but does it not approve a sale? You can come back later and try and do that. Well, I jumped on that because that's better than a sale. Otherwise, if she had voted to sell the property, we'd be in a whole different kettle of fish right now.
Yeah, it would be. Well, but
so I jumped on it. Mazzano jumped on it, and that's why we are where we are.
Okay.
We're wasting $1.2 million to kick the can down the road with no ultimate solution.
In my opinion. Well, we'll take a break. That's Mayor Mike DeQuisto's opinion, and you've been there, what, two terms?
I'm in my fifth year, so I...
My
opinion is as good as anybody else's opinion.
Yeah, but you've been there and watching all this come
through. I have
been. And you don't agree with a lot of times with the majority, which is fine.
Well, and I've been a lawyer since 1978, so I've interviewed a lot of people. I've deposed a lot of people. I try to get through and say, what's the real incentive for why this person is saying this or doing this? Mostly what they're doing, not what they're saying.
Yeah.
And you get pretty good at it after a while.
Okay. This portion of the show brought to you by My Barbershop. Well, it's My Barbershop and many, 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 many hundreds of others. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, across the parking lot from Lucky Miller's, is my barbershop of choice. I've never had a bad haircut there. It's a veteran-owned business, locally-owned business that gives discounts to seniors and veterans. It's not a hairstyling salon, my friends. It is a barbershop. You can make an appointment at 530-244-9478, or you can come in, take your chances, and just stop in. If there's an opening, you'll get a great haircut. Not only that, but it's man's last stronghold. It hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed is they did take the dinosaur mount down when they painted it. They painted it during COVID, and it never made its way back up. And I was a little concerned about that, but I did find out it went to a great home, so I'm okay with that. Cypress Square Barbershop. We'll be right back with Mayor DeQuisto. Carl Lindebot. Join us as we broadcast live with our morning show from Las Vegas at the National Finals Rodeo, December 6th, 7th, and 8th.
We'd like to thank our Broncos sponsor, Holiday Harbor, your full-service marina. Get the best rates on Lake Shasta at Holiday Harbor, and remember off-season rates during the month of May, including Rodeo Week.
Rodeo at night, play on the lake during the day at Holiday Harbor. For reservations and information, go to lakeshasta.com.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tiger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no side effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult to treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by, get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity and reliability of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Maintain your car warranty with our service while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palisadro, in the Holiday Shopping Center, or in Redding, on Lake Boulevard, near Waterworks Park, and Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. In the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. Linda's just getting ready for Thanksgiving. She's running around the house. God, I don't know what she's doing. She's packing or whatever. She's trying to salvage my homemade cranberry relish.
From last year?
No, I made it this year. It just doesn't look like my son's. My son has a recipe, you know, handed down from generations, and when he fixes it, it just looks different and tastes different. So it may not make it over to Thanksgiving. 8:36 in the morning, and a beautiful day today and tomorrow for Thanksgiving. It's getting a little bit chillier at night. We've got Mayor Mike DeQuisto with us. We were talking the Surplus Land Act and how it can be interpreted. And I noticed that when I was working with the state of California, you get to one person, oh, this is what it means. And you talk, oh, okay, but, you know, and then you call back and you get another person, oh, no, this is what it means. I mean, it's the same regulations, but it's the way it's interpreted. It's just a pain in the butt because it's not clear. It doesn't say it will be exactly this. But let's move on to the rate hikes.
Good. That's my favorite subject.
I was fortunate enough, or unfortunate enough, to be there that night when we got the briefing on why we're having rate hikes for the
wastewater and trash. All the basic utility stuff that you want to work and you don't want it to pile up in your driveway.
There you go. So, and that was approved.
Yes, it was. So. This is my take on it. I've probably been the most conservative fiscally on the council in a long time. I'm certainly one of the most conservative members there are now. And I view raises, if they're necessary, that's one thing, but I'm skeptical for a lot of them. The utility funds are a separate – they don't come from the general fund from sales tax or property tax. They come from the rates, and each of them has a – they're called enterprise funds. So there's a fund for water. There's a fund for the sewer. There's a fund for the whatever the third one is. And I've looked at the finances on that. Some of the fund pays for, like, the garbage truck drivers and the utility workers that fix the brakes and in the mains and things like that. Those wages are not, while they're fair, they're not astronomical. It's not like police and fire that take up 82% of the general fund money. most of the money is needed for infrastructure improvements. We need a whole new pump house over on the one side of the river there that supplies two-thirds of the water for Reading. It's from the 30s or 40s when it was built.
Yeah, and it's working right now, but it's you're right. It's 70 years old.
So it needs to be done. And
that's
a $20 or $30 or $40 or $50 million project that has to get taken care of. We have pipes that break whenever they feel like it. And you can go for... there's no way to tell. It's like an earthquake or anything like that, or a tornado where you look in the sky
and
see
it. I've been here 72 years. I'm going to break.
Pretty much. And
it causes damage.
Well,
incredible damage.
And the city's pretty good about if a pipe breaks and it floods your house and it's not your fault and it's the city's pipe, then the city should pay. And there's been one instance I know of, the city's paid out close to $500,000 for a broken pipe. And there's going to be more. Some of the pipes are 70 years old and 80 years old, and they need to be fixed. And the only way to do it is to raise the rates. So that's an unfortunate circumstance, but that's the way it is. Now, on that particular item, this is another example of how you interpret laws or statutes or the Constitution. There was some public comment that night about, well, what about people on fixed income who live on $1,500 a month Social Security or $2,000 or $1,200 or whatever, you know, and the rate's going to go up $15 a month and they can't afford it, or $20 or whatever the number is. And I think that's actually a fair argument. So I said, well, what if we just didn't raise those low-income people? What if we don't raise their rates but raise everybody else's? How is that, you know, why can we do that? And the reaction I got, I've likened to trying to take somebody's firstborn child, was you can't possibly do that. I think it's against the law. The Constitution doesn't allow it. You're subsidizing one ratepayer with another ratepayer. It would be very complicated. I'm not sure we could accomplish it. Blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, the electric utility does it. What if we just took those same people and didn't raise their rates? I mean, and the amount of difference in the money over 5 or 10 or 15 years is peanuts. It's insignificant. Well, that's a different kettle of fish. The REU has a separate law, and we're allowed to do the subsidies for there, but we're not allowed to for the other utilities. The way that it got left was that, well, we'll look into it, and we'll bring it back in a year, and the council can always change it if you want to. Well, good luck on that ever happening. They may bring it back. I'm not saying they won't, but that's just kicking the can down the road, and it doesn't help the people on fixed incomes now that need the help now.
And we heard from two or three of them.
So I voted no. I said I would have voted for it if you could do the low income and not raise theirs. I go, I'd vote for it. But I said, if you can't do the low income, I'm voting no. And I lost 4-1.
The other thing too is that the way we are going to get rid of our garbage is changing dramatically.
Yes, that's true.
And you know, you pay for, on your garbage, you pay for cans, the size of the cans.
Correct.
And starting, God knows when.
I think the first of the year.
First of the year, all of your food garbage that used to go into
they'll bring in slowly. They're starting with commercial things. But,
okay.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
The organic waste, it's called.
Right. Anything that, like, food scraps and all that kind of stuff that used to put into the gray garbage can now is going to go into your green garbage can that you use for your yard trimmings and all that.
I'm not sure which can it's going to go into.
Well, I'm not sure, but that's the way we do it, is your green can in my house is for all your yard waste and all that kind of stuff, organic stuff. Then you've got your recyclables. Then you have your food waste. Now your food waste has to go into the way I understand it, into your organic waste.
Well, the food waste has to be processed separately from the other. So it has to be sorted, has to be collected, sorted, and processed differently. And this is another reason why, in addition to the infrastructure that needs to be taken care of in the old age, the state loves to pass laws to say, we think this is a great idea. You go figure out how to do it. And we're not giving you any money to go do it. So the city gets stuck with, well, how are we going to do this? So we're running a pilot project to, I forget the fancy name, but I think the gist of it is you basically burn them. Once you segregate the organic materials, you just burn them to a crisp, and then you get rid of that somehow.
Anyway, that's going to be interesting. Now, at the same time, we had the REU director on, and he made the announcement, and then the press release came out, I think the same day or next day. They're raising REU rates, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that is for, in your opinion...
REU has a lot of money, but REU spends a lot of money. They have a significant cash reserve, but they can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in a day trading energy and trading this and that. So they right. need to have more money on hand than the city in the general fund or the other fund. So starting off with, that's why they have so much more money. One of the things that they've done is they have a wildfire mitigation plan that they implemented shortly after the fire in 2018.
Car fire.
The car yeah. fire. And that costs money. They have cameras that can detect smoke far away. They have people that have to clear the lines. They have more things that they have to go do. The other issue with REU is that for years and years and years, they fought the federal government because the federal government said, you're a transmission company in addition to providing electricity. You transmit over interstate property. And if you do that, you have to have extra regulations and extra people and comply with additional rules. About a couple of years ago, the city finally lost that, and they said, no, you qualify as that. You have to now implement all these additional rules and additional requirements. So they do have more they have to go do. It's a little bit like taking a pill. If you're going to take one pill in the morning for the wastewater, you may as well take a second pill for the REU rates and see what... Well, what are you going to do?
It's
you need the
that.
Electricity, and it's unfortunate.
And
but
we have lower rates, and I've seen that.
We have lower rates. We do.
And it becomes now, with PG&E, it's become a selling point.
Well, it is, and I will tell you, there are companies that are interested in Stillwater and in development in the town, and one of the things that they like is the electric reliability. The cost and mostly the reliability.
Reliability. I mean, REU is a blessing and I know the people down there, and they're not being capricious when they do these things.
No, they're not.
And none of them are.
No, they're not.
And then you all sit there and you listen to it and you go, well, it just makes sense and you can see it. So rates are going to continue to go up, my friends.
That's the way government works.
That's the way it is. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Our guest is Mayor Michael DeQuisto, and we've got a couple other subjects. Somebody just wrote to me and said, is it true Reading is paying people to come here to be homeless or is putting their open arms out for homeless to come in here?
That's like asking, do you still beat your wife?
We'll be right back. Wait. Why?
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Hi, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us as we broadcast live during the National Finals Rodeo.
Yes, we'll be live from Las Vegas with our morning show of December 6th, 7th, and 8th. We'll be interviewing the leadership of the Professional Rodeo Cowboy Association, stock contractors, and competitors.
We'd like to thank our title sponsor, Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino, as we bring these live broadcasts from Las Vegas.
The Redding Rancheria is presenting Native American Night as a kickoff to the 2024 Reading Rodeo. The tribe is grateful for the partnership with the Reading Rodeo Association.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. And remember, next May 2024 is the Reading Rodeo. Tickets go on sale December 13th at readingrodeo.com. Free Fire Radio will be broadcasting the morning show 7 to 9 a.m. live from Las Vegas to the National Finals Rodeo December 6th, 7th, and 8th.
Brought to you by our Bronco sponsor, Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Shasta Regional supports the Reading Rodeo, which is a member of the National Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame.
Shasta Regional Medical Center was founded in 1945 and is honored to serve the North State for over 77 years.
Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike, why not get more bang for your buck? Redding Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Redding. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofredding.org/rebates.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Redding Kia would like to express our gratitude to our veterans and those currently serving our country. Since 2006, Redding Kia has striven to be the premier auto dealership in the North State. There's always military incentive rebates on all new 2023 and 2024 Kias at Redding Kia. Test drive a new 2024 Kia Telluride today. Redding Kia, home of the 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. 418 East Cypress Avenue, RedingKia.com.
Do you have that dream of a book burning a hole into your soul? It's not too late to join us for National Novel Writing Month to make that dream a reality. Find us at NaNoWriMo.org to connect. That's NaNoWriMo.org. And of course, this holiday season, we want to thank our troops, both active and retired, for the opportunity you've given us to make these dreams come true. So we give a big salute to our troops.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in our last segment before Thanksgiving. We will, as I said earlier, we are going to do best of on Thanksgiving Day and the day after. And so Linda and I will be back Monday morning. So everybody can kind of enjoy their Thanksgiving here in the offices and get a couple of days off and all that. Our guest is Mayor Mike DeQuisto, and let's... Mark Mazzano is slated, because he's got vice mayor.
Correct.
To be the next mayor.
So let me start with, just for people that don't know how it works. There's two kinds of cities. There's a city that are called charter cities, where the mayor is elected and actually runs the city, sort of like a city manager.
I kind of like that.
But there's not too many of them, but there are some.
Yeah.
And then there's what they call general law cities. And Redding is a general law city, where the council members are all elected, and the mayor is a rotating position decided upon by the council members, usually for a year at a time.
And what would you say is the mayor's main duty? I mean, what is the biggest power this mayor has?
I get to run the meetings.
Okay, run the meetings, but aren't you the one that puts things on the agenda, though, or not?
No.
Okay.
Well, I haven't pushed that issue. The way our city is set up is at every meeting there's an item 12 where a council member can bring up an idea for a future discussion.
Right.
And the way it works is that if three of the five council members want to bring it back for future discussion, it gets put on a future agenda.
Okay.
There's a few things I can put on the agenda, like a proclamation or an appreciation award or appointments to committees and things like that, but that's all.
Yeah, little pats on the back.
Little pats on the back. And then the other part is the mayor is you get to sign all the contracts and the resolutions and you go in at least once a week and have to sign a bunch of papers. And
okay.
So.
All right. So it's.
And you still get the same $600 a month.
So it's kind of it's a title.
It's a title.
Right.
And it's more ceremonial than it is functional with more power.
Okay.
But people think when you're the mayor that
you're the mayor.
You're the mayor. So
that's right.
You get more correspondence, you get more emails and messages, you get invitations for all kinds of ribbon cuttings and ceremonies and events and from all kinds of people everywhere. So, and it's something that people want to do and should do as part of the rotation of being on council. It's one of the duties that you should do. And so that's why we have three positions. We have mayor, we have vice mayor, and we have mayor pro tem. And that's the order in which you go. So this year, I'm the mayor. Mark Mazzano is the vice mayor, and Tanessa Audet is the mayor pro tem.
Okay.
The next meeting, the first meeting in December, the first item I'm going to go do after a presentation to Barry DeWalt is preside over who's going to be the next mayor. So one of the council members will make a motion for who's going to be mayor, who's going to be vice mayor, and who's going to be mayor pro tem. It should be Mark Mazzano because he's the vice mayor. That would be the normal progression. That would be the right thing to go do. He's earned it. And it'll be his, well, depending on where he goes in the assembly district run, it may or may not be his last year. But if he makes it past the primary and he's in the final, then he's not going to run for city council again. He's going to run for the assembly or do nothing. The other choice, I believe, and I haven't talked to her about it, is that some people may want Miss Audette to be mayor.
Who's also running.
She's also running for assembly district.
Right.
I think that's a mistake for a number of reasons. The first reason is that she's not the vice mayor. She's only been on the council for a year. And despite what she says, you can't convince me that she just woke up one day a few months ago and decided to run for assembly district. So I think she's an opportunist. And she's not really interested in the city's... She works hard, and she is interested now for what she's doing, but she's also campaigning. And if she gets the assembly, if she gets the assembly district seat, there's going to have to be potentially an election, which will cost the taxpayers money to fill her seat because she's got 3 years left. So she would leave early. Or the council could appoint somebody. So, you know, that's an open question. Uh-huh. Yeah, they could appoint you, Carl. You'd be, you couldn't do your radio show probably. So it's just an issue. So if anybody wants to come out and voice their opinion as to who they think should be the mayor, they're welcome to come to the next meeting the first Tuesday in December.
So you're saying there's a chance that somebody's going to bring up somebody else's name?
There's a chance.
It happened to you.
It happened to me. I know from experience.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't. I hope that Mark gets it and it just moves forward the way it should be and that I'm a big worrywart over nothing. That's what I hope. Because it's not helpful to have an argument over something like this.
Here's the thing is both of them are running for assembly. And the fact is that I guess, you know, you can say, well, I'm the mayor of Reading, the largest city, in, you know, in, you know, up here in the North State. I mean, I guess you could say that. But on the other hand, if it becomes that willful, and it's not like Mazzano's done anything wrong.
No, he hasn't. He's a very good council person.
Yeah, and it's not like he's not to face.
No, and what they want, I suspect what they want, is they want to be able to say before the primary, I'm the mayor of Reading. Whether that gets put on the ballot statement that gets mailed to everybody, I don't know if the timing could do that or not, but that's what they want to say. They want to go, I'm the mayor of Reading, and think that that will get them more support and more votes.
Huh. And well, we'll see. Like you said, you may be just, you know, whistling here.
I hope I'm whistling Dixie and nothing's going to happen.
Well, I hope so, too. I think that, it's more like you said, it's a title
it's
as
a
opposed
title.
To having, you know, so much power.
And the average citizen doesn't care who the mayor is. They care about what services are provided, about feeling safe, about having jail space, about all the things like that, the trash picked up and the water main's not breaking. That's what they want. They don't care who the mayor is. They want
as long as it's done.
As long as it's done and it works. That's what the average citizen wants.
You had like four other things you want to talk about, but are y'all re-looking at this parking extravaganza plan?
The parking comes back every 6 months or a year, so it's going to come back with some tweaks again, I'm sure, because I hear complaints and issues about it.
Well, I see, you know, you want to put, you know, you want room in front of businesses, and I see it's kind of working that way. But I also see people walking up and down the street two or three times because it doesn't say, oh, by the way, bring your driver's license or bring your car license and they'll get down there.
The signage could be a little more clear.
It could be a little clearer. And then which lots do you have to pay or not pay?
I suspect that it's not going to go away and that
two,
three, 4 or 5 years from now, people will have finally figured it out and they'll be used to it.
It's just like anything else.
It's like a new roundabout. Sooner or later, you figure out how to use it.
Coming out of Costco the other day, there was this jacked up truck that I tell you what, we almost had a game of chicken there. And I mean, he had the right of way, but I mean, and so you just, that's what you have to learn. Where's the right of way? Okay, last thought. Okay, we've got like a minute and a half. What's the last thing you want to hit?
Department heads leaving. A number of them have left, but we're replacing.
Yeah.
Yes. Chuck Auckland is leaving as public works director, and we got a gentleman from Caltrans who should be a good replacement. I don't remember his name. Kim Niemer is leaving, and we got her assistant, Travis Mean.
Now you're dividing out her duties too, right?
I think so. I think they're gonna split between Travis and the other. There's another gentleman in there whose name I don't know. The police chief left a little while ago.
Yeah, Brian Barner's there now.
The airport manager, I think, will be leaving the end of December, and we're working on
heard
getting,
that too.
We're getting a replacement for him.
Is he going over to the TV station?
I don't know.
I thought I saw something like that on Facebook, but I'm not sure if that's what I read was correct.
Well, that's one of the things as the mayor. You get lots of rumors, and people say, well, what about this and what about that? And, you know, I don't know, and I haven't heard. Some you've heard, some you haven't heard.
Yeah. Well, there's a minute left. Why don't you, what do you want to tell the people of Reading during this Thanksgiving season?
I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. I want to say publicly that I've enjoyed being the mayor. It's been a lot of fun. I really like coming on your show, and I hope you have me back.
I will. You know, I'd love to have every city council member on this show just to get theirs. Like, Julie feels different than you.
Yeah.
Mark feels different than you sometimes. Tanessa and Jack. Just come on the show and tell us what you're, you know, what's going on in your opinion here.
Well, and we all have our own ways to express things and what they say, and we're
all
different. Some people are more discreet than I am.
Well, Tanessa and Mark will be on, of course, because they're running for assembly, as well as the other candidates. But we can't forget that the most impact we all